Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, Episode 89. Go faster by walking. Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, practical triathlon advice for everyday athletes. My name is Gerard. I coach people for Ironman, Half Ironman, and other endurance events. This podcast is a way of sharing important information with the team I coach, but anyone else in the great world, wide world can listen in too. If you like what you hear, please search for Mr. Smith's Iron Team to learn more about what we do. The last episode, I talked about how to swim in open water. Big promise, sounds great. Of course, not quite that easy. The key takeaways really that I wanted you to have was that the pool is so important still. It's the place where you develop your fitness and you do a lot of skill, obviously your swimming technique, but also skill preparation for the open water, sighting, swimming close to others, all of these kind of things that you can do in the pool to prepare you for the open water. Then once you're in the open water, that's your opportunity to really build familiarity in that environment and refine those skills for the conditions with people around you, breathing and sighting, all of those kind of things. But the thing I keep coming back to is that particularly in rougher open water conditions, the ability to hold your body stable, stability, is the real key. If you can hold your body stable, you're in control in the water and you're not going to get knocked around, have your stroke disrupted as much. So stability, develop it in the pool, practice it in the open water, but that's your real, real key to it. For this week's discussion, I've talked about go faster by walking, another big promise. So if I take you back to my first Ironman, in that, my main goal was to run the whole run, and I did it. Sure, I walked the aid stations, but I had decided that was okay, that wasn't really cheating, but otherwise, all I wanted to do was run. And in hindsight, what I realized was that there's actually nothing magic about running the whole thing. And in fact, what I wanted, what my goal really was to be still running and to be consistent in that last 10K. I'd heard so many stories about how things fall apart for so many people around that 30K mark. And it's obvious why, because very few people will ever run more than 30K in training for Ironman. And no one ever runs more than 30K off a long ride because that's doing an Ironman, that's race day. You just can't do it in training. So yeah, that I realized that the important thing here was actually about being consistent towards the end. And every year after Ironman, I dissect the run splits for our team. And there is no coincidence those who have the fastest overall times are the ones who slow down the least in that third lap, three laps of the run at Ironman. These are the people who are most consistent, slow down the least at that point. And obviously there's a number of factors come into play for this, that the faster people, they're generally on the bike for less time. They're stronger athletes. They're experienced at pacing, all of these things. But what it does show is that if we can be pretty consistent in that run and running more towards the end when most people are walking, that's going to lead to our fastest possible time. And this applies to both Ironman and the half distance. So how do we achieve this? That's what the run-walk approach is all about. Again, the fastest runners at Ironman, I'm talking the people who are going under 3.5 hours, and the fastest at half Ironman, under an hour and a half, say, these people are probably not going to walk at all or only for very minor points. They've spent years and years developing the fitness to do this, and they're also out there for less time, so they need to run more to just get through it in the time that they have trained for. But for the rest of us, having planned walk breaks are the secret ingredient to a faster overall time. In a half Ironman, I run around about 1 hour 40 and always walk the aid stations, always. If you're running more than 2 hours, you'll absolutely benefit from having other walk breaks in there too. In Ironman, if you're running more than 4 hours, then planned walk breaks at aid stations and other key points on the course, that's going to be your fastest way to the finish. So why, how do we, why is this so important? Well, walk breaks give you the opportunity to take in and digest your nutrition by just kind of reducing the load on your whole overall body briefly. Walk breaks reduce the tension and the load in your legs, those running muscles, and they change the movement pattern for a short period of time, again, to help rest and refresh those running muscles. Also, your heart rate comes down a little bit in that time when you're walking, because otherwise, very commonly, you see that heart rate just gradually builds and builds and builds over the course of a run to a point where it's just not sustainable. And so that, yeah, that's why and how the walk breaks work. So it's really important to recognize that this applies to training as well. That when you're out there for long runs and training, it gives you the opportunity to practice your fueling, taking in nutrition. And honestly, if you haven't thought about this for training, then absolutely do. Anytime you're over 2 hours worth of running, and I believe actually less than that as well, that's your opportunity to practice fueling. It's you're practicing for the day, but you're also giving yourself fuel to perform that training session better. So fueling in long runs is really important in my books. It's also by having walk breaks in training, it's going to show you how you can perform in better. Sorry, how you can perform better in training so that you know how to in an event. You've got the confidence that it is actually going to work. These walk breaks in training, they also help you recover better from your long runs. That they really do make a difference to your recovery, which means you can either do more or do other training more strongly. And that the real key to it is even in training, take walk breaks right from the start so you can be consistent towards the end. You don't wait until you're getting tired and walk. That's what leads to so many people slowing down an Ironman. You proactively take these walk breaks early on, right from the start. In training, really common numbers or ratios are 9 minutes run, 1 minute walk, 14 run, 1 minute walk for some of the stronger people. And there's absolutely nothing magic in these numbers. They are just a convenient number, an easy number to do it to in training. As an aside, a quick tip for those with Garmin's and most other devices probably have the same. You can set an alert on your Garmin. Go and look for run alerts, and you can set up an alert for run and walk so that it beeps at you every 9 minutes and then every 1 minute repetitively. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to watch the time. You just have that tell you what when the time is up. So the faster runners will need fewer walk breaks, need them less often. And slower runners should take them more frequently. So I talked about 9-1 or 14-1. For a lot of people, even 5-1 is a good option. So play with those numbers. There's nothing magic about the actual number. Figure out the right one for you so that you're really consistent all the way through your training so that you know you can be on the day as well. Because remember, the goal here is to help you be more consistent towards the end. That's what it's all about. So that's in training. Then come the day itself of your event. Again, don't get hung up on these numbers. These numbers are convenient for training, but your event is going to be a bit different. For example, at Ironman New Zealand, the aid stations are about 2.5K apart. So looking at how quickly you run and when your walk breaks are, that's going to be one factor that comes in, how far apart are those. But then you also look at the rest of the course, and there are, I call them small rises, they generally feel like bigger hills towards the end, but in Taupo, along the lakefront, there's a rise at the end of the lakefront. As you go up to Rainbow Point, there's another rise going up there. Have a look at the course that you are going to be on, and figure out where are those other points, where are good opportunities to walk. So it won't be a strict 9-1 ratio or anything like that. in your event, you're better to put in those walk breaks at strategic points where you're going to benefit the most, take the most load off the body. And if you haven't thought about it before, as an aside, that walking up a hill, you can probably walk up a hill as fast as anyone else around you can run it. However, you're saving energy, you're taking the load off the body, so you are always going to be fresher towards the end than someone who runs it. So keep that in mind. So look, that's the whole run-walk approach. The big thing to take away from this is that, I know the people who come from a pure running background, they really see walking as a failure. But in a triathlon in particular, where you are already fatigued off the bike, walking is a key way to success in your run. So yeah, takeaways, do give it a go in training, then plan around your course for how you're going to implement it in your event. Walk breaks will allow you to be consistent in the later stages of your run, and consistency leads to your fastest overall result. Good luck.